Dude, Lauren Daigle, bro, has done more for the kingdom in a year than you will do in 5 lifetimes. I'm sorry. Isn't the, like, wow, I thought she was a Christian. I thought he was a Christian. Like, isn't that... Are we not just, like, tired? Are you not tired of that argument? It's so, so shallow. I'm not even lying to you. I probably did 27 things yesterday that you, if you would have witnessed, you'd be like, wow, I thought he was a Christian. I scrolled my Instagram for too long. I should have been reading the Bible. I cut someone off when I was trying to get into the Taco Bell drive-thru. I mean, dude, friggin' Lauren Daigle, like, I'm sorry, but like hundreds of songs, like lifting up the name of the Lord and led people to the kingdom and articles and it's stories about her. And one time she doesn't say something that is how you liked it. Get out. I'm saying, sure, we should all be held to a higher standard and all that. I get all that. But if you have a negative opinion about another person that you don't know personally, just, like, have it and then just, like, throw it away. You know what I'm saying? You're going to post this. This makes me... If you come out with your, like, pious, like, John Gray or Lauren Daigle, like, trash talk, then every tweet, every song that gets played, every post, every Instagram that glorifies the name of the Lord, you should just be celebrating. Like, thank you, we love you. And if you're not, then shut up.
I can't breathe.
It is the Luminary, and you are listening to the Truth Stands from Charlotte, North Carolina, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. And we're taking a stand here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You are hearing me from the glorious Truth Stand Studios, aka the second room in my house. I am behind always as the trusty blue platinum microphone. To my left, I got the Galaxy Tab S4 making its triumphant return, where we're going to read Bible scriptures tonight. I also, to my right, have my Pixel 2 XL, even though you know how I feel about Google. I may not be keeping this phone for much longer, but right now, it's on my side. I have the laptop in front of me. It is the Dell Inspiron 6, whatever, whatever. And I have, to my left, I have the Logitech C920 webcam, which is not on because my hair is ugly and I look like a complete and utter mess. All right. So I got a lot to say. That clip you just heard is from a YouTuber named John Chris. That's Chris, like C-R-I-S-T, Christ. I guess that's how you would pronounce it. He's a popular Christian YouTuber. He's a comedian. But you know what? Based upon that, he's also a millennial jerk. Yeah, I said it. He's a millennial jerk. Guys like this guy, Chris, are people who I try to avoid in Christianity. These are the people who, in the name of criticizing others, becomes the same hypocrite. And it's so annoying. Now, why was John Chris doing this? Well, John Chris is all upset because this Lauren Daigle thing is still an issue. This Lauren Daigle thing, she's a popular Christian artist. One of her hit songs has 49 million views on YouTube. She's very popular. She's popping all over the charts, the pop charts, the Christian charts. She's been on Ellen DeGeneres' show. She's been everywhere. But the controversy, of course, is when she was confronted about homosexuality, she did not present the gospel, nor does she give a response that's actually a biblical, godly response. As a matter of fact, don't listen to John Chris. Let's listen to what Lauren Daigle actually said. This comes from the Christian News Net. Well, ChristianNews.net. I always mess that up. ChristianNews.net. By the way, she goes to Andy Stanley's church. You know how I feel about Andy Stanley. That should tell you all you need to know about Lauren Daigle. With that being said, when she was asked by some radio guy, who it doesn't really matter who he is, because I will not promote him, quote, do you feel that homosexuality is a sin? Now, for all of you biblical scholars out there, for all of you who actually care about what the Bible has to say about these things, you know exactly what the answer is. Yes, it is a sin. But what was Lauren Daigle's response? Well, you know, I can't honestly answer that in the sense of I have too many people that I love that are homosexuals. Known for the hits, How Can It Be? And You Say is the one with the 49 views on YouTube. This is what she said. I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it. I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. She continued. So when people ask questions like that, that's what my go-to is. Like, I just say, read the Bible and find out for yourself. And when you find out, let me know because I'm learning too. That is exactly what she said. Now, how in the world John Chris can defend that? It's not beyond me. I'm going to explain why people like John Chris do what they do. I'm going to explain that. But she also was responding to some questions about the criticism on being on Ellen DeGeneres' show. And she says, quote, for me, it was really sad. Their outlook would be, oh, because Ellen is gay, she's bad. That's sad. It's so sad, Daigle opined. What people don't realize is that I went to Ellen, and she is just a bundle of light. She is so joyful and so kind. And guess what? She may be. Ellen DeGeneres may be a good person. I don't know Ellen DeGeneres. It's very possible. But that doesn't change the fact that before the eyes of God, she's an unrepentant homosexual who needs the love of Christ and needed Lauren Daigle to love on her enough to let her know what her eternal destiny was. But see, you got to understand, that's not who Lauren Daigle is. She's a contemporary Christian musician. Typically, what that means is someone who doesn't preach the gospel. It's not like some of your hardcore Christian hip hop out there. It's not like some of your old school Christian music out there, where there was a lot of preaching out there. It's not like some of the other Christian artists who, when you listen to their songs, you can hear the love of Jesus. You can hear the gospel. You can hear them talking about the need for salvation. Most of these people never talk about that at all. John Chris and his silly little YouTube videos, all he does is make jokes about a bunch of stuff. That's, guess, his role in Christianity, I guess, is to make jokes about stuff. But he's not serious. Neither is she. I listened to that song, You Say. And first of all, there's nothing special about Lauren Daigle's song. I have heard that same pablum for decades from Christian music. That's the reason why I don't listen to Christian music. Same type of sound, same type of guitar riff, same type of sequence. Nothing special. Her lyrics, this is the summation of her lyrics. God loves you. He thinks you're special no matter what. Just trust and believe that you're special. And because we're all God's children, this can apply to all of you. God loves you. Amen. And John Chris is running around. Oh my God, she's doing so much for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, really, John? Oh, and then he says, oh, well, you know, she's done more for the kingdom of heaven than you will ever do in your life. Oh, really, Mr. Chris? You know every Christian, right? You're a hypocrite. You're a fraud. Matter of fact, you know the Pulpit and Pen guys had a little bit to say about Mr. Chris. And I'm going to go to that article right now. Oh, by the way, I haven't lost my place, people. I never, ever lose my place. This is the Truth Stand. This is the luminary representing the Truth Stand. I never, ever, ever lose my place. But with that being said, I'm firing on all cylinders here right now. Because I still got to talk about this guy, John Gray, from South Carolina, Greenville. I talked about him on the last podcast. He's still a story. He's the guy who bought his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini, special Lamborghini that only a handful of people in the world even own. But of course, he didn't use the church's money for that. Oh, he'd been saving and saving and saving and saving forever and ever. Oh, by the way, that's what John Chris thinks too, that the guy's been saving forever and ever, and he finally bought his wife a gift. We're going to talk about this guy in just shortly, but I'm not finished with Lauren Daigle yet. So, in response to Mr. Chris, it's an article on pulpitandpen.org, and it says, Dance Monkey, an open letter to John Chris and to Lauren Daigle. Now, I'm not a fan of them talking about Dance Monkey, but I'm going to read exactly what they said anyway, and you discern for yourself whether that is appropriate. However, I think there's greater points to be made. That's why I'm going to read it. So these were the few things they had to say about it. It says, one, Lauren Daigle hasn't done more in the last year than all of her critics. That would be the discerners. That would be the people who actually care about the Bible, who actually care about souls. Yeah, the people who actually want people to be saved. The people who actually want Christians, when they're in certain positions, to actually walk in some sort of biblical, godly faith in front of the world, like we were told to. Yeah, those are critics, are, as Stephen Furtick would call it, haters. But anyway, finish. I haven't lost my place. Okay, so Lauren Daigle hasn't done more in the last year than in all their lifetimes. Lauren Daigle is a product of contemporary Christian music market who, because she is pretty, gets to put on stomach-bearing shirts and writhe sexually while singing about Jesus like he were her boyfriend. She could be replaced by any number of pretty girls who can sing. They're dime a dozen. And he's absolutely right about this. There's nothing special about Lauren Daigle's verse. She's just the latest professed Christian that the world can co-op. That's exactly what she is. Number two, equivocating, not knowing what sin is, particularly is an abominable one like sodomy, to spending too much time on your Instagram account makes me think you don't know what sin is. If you are a pastor or a teacher, I'd be far more horrified. If you are asked a similar question, I would respond as Daigle should have. I'm only here because I'm a dancing monkey. I don't think that's appropriate. Regardless, please direct all doctrinal questions to my pastor. Unless the pastor's Andy Stanley, of course. Which, by the way, it is. Then they said this. Lauren Daigle said she didn't know if homosexuality was a sin because she's not God. And you, John Christ, accused her critics of being shallow. That's hilarious. It may be the funniest joke you've ever told. I'm once again quoting from Pulpit and Pen. Now, that was something else Chris said in this video. He's talking about, oh, you got negative opinions. Just shut up. Keep it to yourself. See, that's spoken like a true millennial. This is how people who have no argument, who have no constructive argument or criticisms or retorts to give, they just tell you to shut up. And they just accuse you of being negative. My friend, just because something's negative doesn't mean it's not true. And just because it's negative doesn't mean somehow it needs to not be said. That's stupid. If that be the case, then why are you listening to preaching talking about you need to stop sinning? Why are you listening to preaching talking about you need to be more faithful to the Lord? Why are you, well, knowing him, he'd probably go to a church where they don't even preach that. But anyway, if that be the case, if we couldn't deal with what's negative, then why is there laws? Why are there corrections? That's all about the negative, bro. Stupid. But anyway, and then, you know, I'm tired of reading about this. Hold on. No. Well, wait a minute. Point number five. He says, you told us to shut up for criticizing Daigle doctrine flop and John Gray's giving his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini in the name of Jesus. But we shouldn't have to shut up. No one pays us to entertain them. We don't make a living like Daigle being evangelicalism's Jessica Simpson.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Or like you making people laugh. We're Christians who are commanded to train the powers of our discernment with constant practice so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. That's Hebrews 5:14. So I'm done with that article. But with that being said, so that's the whole issue. Let me sum up how I feel about all this. Lauren Daigle may be a Christian. She may even be a good person. But when you are a Christian, you are called to faithfulness. And I'm going to read some scripture about faithfulness shortly when we get to this pastor, John Gray, in South Carolina. But when you are a Christian, your call is not to just entertain the world. Your call is to reach the world and reach the world for Christ. If I listen to Lauren Daigle's music, I don't hear Jesus being glorified in that. I don't hear the gospel being executed there. And guess what? The real truth is, we all know good and well, if Ellen DeGeneres thought that Lauren Daigle was that type of person, she would have never made it onto Ellen DeGeneres' show. Not possible. She wouldn't be as popular as she is. That's how these people that call themselves Christians, they do it. They take out Jesus while claiming to love him, go to the world, and they will preach a biblical tenet, or they will create a version of God that's acceptable for the entire world, an almost universal God that just says, since we're all his creation, that God loves us all, and that just because you feel low and you feel like the world's against you and you feel like you're worthless, well, you just must remember what God said about you, and there it is, pick up. See, but what happens there is that all that stuff she's giving out, that's for the church. See, because yes, it is true. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. The Bible is clear in John 1:12, and I know that John Chris doesn't like talking about the Bible. But in John 1:12, it basically said, but as many as would receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Whose name? Jesus's name. Okay, so that's what you have to understand, that ultimately people like Lauren Daigle and John Chris, they're going to become our persecutors, because the world will accept their version of God, their version of Jesus, and will reject the biblical version of Jesus. And while we try to hold firm to that, those people will continue to prosper in the world by compromising the faith in front of the world like that. And of course, I hope that Lauren Daigle grows. I hope that somebody of some godly biblical sense gets to her and helps her to realize what's happening to her. She's just being used. She's just being played by the world. With that being said, I got this guy named John Gray that I need to talk about, okay? But I need to talk about it after the break. You are listening to The Truth Stand.
Think I'm cocky, I'm as arrogant. I'm only 5'2", but in Christ I'm a giant. Bigger since the time since I found my new birth. Stronger than ever before, I hope you see my girth. My eternal spiritual worth and the Jesus within me. Got 25 demons running and screaming when they see me. My biceps filled with the Pauline concepts, and my triceps are filled with the righteous steps. So I'm ready for battle, no matter the storm. Victory is already mine and that's the norm. The fire is hot and it scorches the impregnable fortress of a spiritual battle, and it's felt throughout the churches. Incredible inertia is sparking the preachers. Tap dancing on religious, so the church can see the vision. We don't worship the Christ that died on the cross, only the resurrected Savior who saved the lost.
I have what I have because of who I am. I'm a soldier on the right of the great I am. I'm a king and a priest, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a joiner with Christ that stands alone. No, I have what I have because of who I am. I'm a soldier on the right of the great I am. I'm a king and a priest, I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a joiner with Christ that stands alone. I'm on top of this world, but I'm not a citizen. I'm an alien, so fun is not fun, it's just sin. Keep your mind open to death, but I think one way. Sin is still called sin.
All right, I'm back. You are listening to The Truth Stand. I am your host. I am the luminary. I am the irrepressible and the irreplaceable. That's right. And as one popular radio talk show host likes to say, that when you are listening to The Truth Stand, you are on the cutting edge of societal evolution. Let me tell you something. You are listening to what you've never listened to before. You are hearing what you've never heard before. This is an experience that you are immersed in. You are immersed in The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I'm working on my tagging and my branding, so I'm just going to try statements like that all the time, and I'm going to see what sticks. So with that being said, this is what I want to do. I'm going to read you an article, and I'm going to read most of this article, then I'm going to make my comments on it. This article is from religionnews.com. Religionnews.com, by the way, is a leftist publication. I do not endorse this publication, but sometimes when you need stories to be in depth, religionnews.com can do that. If you can stomach their obvious leftism, and their promotion of leftist or progressive Christianity, by the way, which doesn't exist. But if you can endure that, then read it. If not, I would avoid it. So with that being said, I talked last week about this preacher, and I refuse to call him a pastor, but his name is John Gray. He's from Greenville, South Carolina, and he heads up this church that we now come to find out has over 22,000 members. It was handed to him several years ago by another man who was retiring. And this guy happens to be an associate pastor of Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen. Yes, Joel freaking Osteen. That dude, Joel freaking Osteen. Speaking of that, hold on. I got to go back to something real quick. I had gotten rid of this article, but I have to go back to it because in the article from thechristiannews.net, when I was quoting mostly about what Lauren Daigle had to say, let me tell you another ear tickler of our society, what he had to say about homosexuality, which is Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen, in 2013, when asked by the Huffington Post, another leftist piece of garbage rag, whether God accepts homosexuals. Now, here's the thing about the world. The world always will approach Christians with the question about homosexuality. They don't approach it with about gay marriage nor abortion, but it's always homosexuality. Why? Because they're trying to figure out who are the real Christians, who are not the real Christians. Who are the ones we've already turned? Who are the ones that we cannot turn? And the ones we cannot turn, like me, will be destroyed. But with that being said, so Joel Osteen responds. Well, actually, the interviewer says, "You say here, it doesn't matter who likes you or doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you. He accepts you. He approves of you." See, that right there is Lauren Daigle. That right there is John Chris and every other alleged millennial Christian there is. That's Chris Pratt. That's all these people. See, just know that God loves you and approves of you and accepts you, but yet there is no gospel. That's my problem with Lauren Daigle and all these people like that. They create a doctrine where there is no separation between the world and the church. There's no separation between what God thinks of the church and what God thinks of the world. We're all his creation, so he thinks the same way about us all. That is a lie. That is a wicked, abominable lie from Satan. But back to what I was saying. So, this interviewer from the Huffington Post says, "Is that true for gay men or true for homosexuals?" Osteen's reply, "Absolutely. I believe that God's breathed his life into every person. We're all on a journey and nobody's perfect. The Bible says sin is pride and sin is selfish ambition. We tend to pick on certain things, but I believe every person is made in the image of God and you've got to accept them as they are on their journey." Spoken like an absolute moral relativist. Then Osteen explained that his belief that Christians should exemplify kindness to the world rather than pushing people down. See, preaching the Bible is pushing people down, you know. Again, the scripture teaches the way people are going to know his disciples is for us to love one another. I'm not preaching hate or pushing people down. I'm not here to tell everybody what they're doing wrong. Just complete lies. If you have any kind of inclination that Joel Osteen is okay, you cannot after listening to that. And he hasn't changed his position, by the way. And of course, this is why I like ChristianNewsNet.com or ChristianNews.net. It's because they didn't quote scriptures and then they actually comment biblically on these articles, unlike the Christian Post, who would have just let all that go. They quote Romans 1, 26 through 27, and then 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 11, right? But back to this article from the Religion News about John Gray. So I kind of gave you a little bit of an upshot of the article. Basically, what happened with him once again is he bought his wife a $200,000 Lamborghini. This is after the previous week where he had people come up to the stage in the church to grab money off the pulpits because they were broke. They were in need of financial help. And so he says, "All this money you threw at my feet like I'm a stripper, all this money, you come and get it because the Lord wants to prove to you that he's the God that ends poverty." Okay, so he does that, and then the next week he buys this Lamborghini. You can't tell me that wasn't a setup. I'm sorry. This guy claims that, oh, he saved up all this money. He has this show on Oprah Winfrey's network. He has this book. So he has other streams of revenues that he used, which I don't buy that for 1 second. But even if you wanted to buy it, this is why I think this is such an issue. And before I do that, let me read you a few statements. Because this guy, to follow up on the previous article, is now crying about why people are so critical of him. And he says, quote, "God helped me to make my wife's dream come true." He wrote in an Instagram post Tuesday night, "Why not? She's made my dreams come true." Now, I want you to hear every quote of his, and I want you to hear what his real desires are. "I never spent a nickel or penny when he was on Facebook Live." Then he says, "My wife has pushed for my dreams and my vision, and she has toiled with a man who is still trying to find himself. That carries a weight. I wanted to honor her for now. She's covered me." Then we have another quote from his wife named Aventer Gray. This is her defense. "I don't see anyone screaming about how basketball players drive what they do while paying a lot of money to see them play in arenas and on fields. We don't live for people, we live for God." See, because see, living for God means I get stuff. I get lots of stuff, right? Make money, money, go shopping. Make money, money, go shopping.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Let's continue with the quotes. This is John Gray, December 2015, with the Greenville News. He says, he was actually asked about defending pastors who drove fancy cars, and he said he had a few indulgences, and one of those was his own fine car. Quote, "If the individuals that are serving are honorable, and they are committed to serving, if they have saved their money, and want to do something nice for their spouse, or they want to live in a nice home, you've got one life," he said a year ago. When they also went to the NBA All-Star Game in Los Angeles, "I saw my wife's eyes light up. She said, this would be a dream." And that's all she had to say. Then he says he put down a faith deposit and God helped him come up with the rest, but he still is making payments on it or something like that. Okay. With that being said, so you know the emphasis of this guy, Gray. Every quote is about pleasing his wife and making all their dreams come true. He even quoted that when it comes to preachers driving fancy cars and having all these other indulgences, that is perfectly fine as long as he served honorably and they're committed to serving. So a guy like that believes that because he judges himself righteously. Now, Paul couldn't even do that. That's funny. Because he judges himself righteously, okay, that it's okay for him to do it because he's so spiritual. Almost sounds like when Jesse the Planet basically said, "God trusts me so much that I can just do what I want and God will just automatically back it." Yes, he did. Jesse the Planet said that. Mr. $65 million jet. Yes, he did. But I started thinking to myself, because see, I was trapped up in this false teaching for many years. The word of faith, charismatic, prosperity, gospel garbage. Where in essence, if you please God enough, and if you show you're faithful enough, you have enough of that, then your reward for faithfulness is stuff. That is completely opposite of the word of God. I believe this guy, John Gray, was crying. It was obvious he was crying. But I'm sure he feels hurt. I'm sure he is upset. Because you got to remember, this guy has been taught all his life that spirituality and Christianity ultimately is about stuff. That if you serve and if you are honorable to the Lord, then you get rewarded with stuff. You got to remember, this guy was just handed this church. It says Gray 45 took over leadership in May of Relentless Church, which is the church in Greenville, which had 5 campuses and an active membership of 22,000, with the church founder, Ron Carpenter, handed him the reins of what had been called Redemption Church for 27 years. So this guy was handed a big giant congregation, handed it. And so just that alone makes him think he must be doing something godly and biblical, because God wouldn't have allowed this. My friend, God allows lots of things. But God wouldn't have brought me here if I wasn't being godly and spiritual and led in the Lord. And see, guys like that then start thinking that it's okay to do what I do because he trusts me so I can continue to do as I desire, while at the same time claiming it's all of the Lord. They're deceived, big time deceived. And I know what that deception is. I kind of feel for the man to an extent. I feel for him because he's completely deceived and he has no idea how deceived he is. For God's sake, his mentor is Joel Osteen. He's an associate pastor of Joel Osteen's church, for Christ's sake. But this guy thinks that faithfulness and the reward for it and the fruit of faithfulness is about stuff, when it's absolutely clear the Bible has a completely different understanding of what faith looks like. Let me show you what faith looks like. In 2 Corinthians 4, let me get my tablet over here. In 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 5, this is Paul writing. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Right there, Lauren Daigle, John Christ, Christ. Right there, John Gray. That's your purpose. Right there. But that's not even what I want to get to. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, that's what he treasured. The fact that he was walking in the power of God for the glory of the kingdom of heaven. The glory of the kingdom of heaven is not about trying to make the world think that God loves them just because God created them. That the glory of excellency is not about making yourself think that you're okay spiritually because a whole bunch of people benefit from your lifestyle. So therefore, you are desirous of faith gifts. This is what excellency and faith looks like. It says, now this is what Paul gets for this excellency. Did he get a $200,000 Lamborghini? No. This is what he got. Did he get to go on Ellen DeGeneres' show? No. Does he get to make lots of money and have millions of people view his music? No. It says here, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in the body, for which we live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Let me also take you to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, this is one of what's considered a prison epistle. This is what Paul was doing while he was in prison. You know, the man who Jesus showed himself to, the one who Jesus appointed to the work, that Paul, right? You know, these people think they're so great. None of you are greater than the Apostle Paul. Not one of you. But yet Paul refused to take money, except for when they gave it to him as a gift because they knew he was struggling, but he never commanded a gift. I don't have time to read that, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the entire chapter. Many people abuse that chapter to justify commanding money and all that stuff. And it is beyond unbiblical. It is beyond untrue. It is absolute falsehood to the nth degree. Read the entire chapter. I'm telling you, read the entire chapter, 1 Corinthians 9. I'm telling you. But right now, in Philippians chapter 4, it says here, after he encourages the church to be at peace with God and to whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and of good report, things like that, right? Then he says in verse 10, Philippians 4, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. No, not that I speak in respect of want. I hope you're listening, John Gray. I hope you're listening, prosperity teachers. I hope you're listening, people who go to Word of Faith churches. That I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be comforted. I know both how to be abased, that means humble, and I know how to abound. But they'll say, see, someone latch onto the word abound. See, abundant life, abound. That's not what he meant. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be hungry and to both abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. By the way, that's the true definition of that scripture. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my afflictions. And then he says, for even Thessalonica sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I can't tell you how many people abuse that passage and will abuse 1 Corinthians 9 and twist it and pervert it into saying that that is for them. That is for the pastorate to be blessed, to be given a portionage, and all this crap. It's pure garbage. And I mean it. I meant every word I just said. It is pure trash. So that's all I really had to say tonight. I wanted to make this a little quick podcast, but sorry, I couldn't do it. I do apologize. But you're going to see this podcast. It's going to be posted on thetruthstand.org. That is thetruthstand.org. This is the luminary for the truth stand, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands.